I'll invite you to turn with us to the book of Acts,
chapter number 2. The book of Acts, chapter number 2 is where we'll be at for a few minutes this afternoon and give you what the Lord has given to us. Just a thought out of the book of Acts, and probably won't keep you very long tonight, but just give you what the Lord's laid on our heart for this afternoon. Acts chapter number 2. And if you're there and you'd like to stand with us, we'll invite you to do that at this time. Acts chapter number 2. All right, look at verse number 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as unto a fire, sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues, as the Spirit gave them. I want you to drop down to verse number 47. Verse 41. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, I pray You'd help us now to be able to say something, God, that'd be a help to this church. Lord, we're thankful for what You've done for us this week, how great a week it was. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to learn something from the Scriptures tonight that might be able to help us in the days going forward. Lord, I pray that You give us open hearts and receptive minds, and that we'd be able to rightly divide the word of truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You're all familiar with the setting of our text. According to chapter number 1, it has been 40 days since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, chapter 1, verse 3 says, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So we know that it's been 40 days since the resurrection of Jesus Christ when we pick up in Acts chapter number 2. Now, if it's only been 40 days since Calvary, then undoubtedly the Lord's death in Calvary is still fresh on the minds of these believers. Over the last 43 days, their worlds have been changed. For over 3 years, these men had listened to Christ, they had ate with Christ, they had been under the leadership of Christ, had followed Him everywhere He went. But 43 days ago, everything changed. 43 days ago, the Lord went to Calvary, and there He gave His life. And while it's true that these men were encouraged by the resurrection of Christ, I believe that there were still some things that were different in their heart and different in their mind and different in their lives. I began about these men this week in Acts chapter number 2, and I thought about it this way. I think that we could say that these were some depressed men. I really do. I think that they were depressed men. Even with the Lord's resurrection, these men faced a certain amount of depression. All but one of these men had forsaken the Lord the night He was crucified, with the exception of John the Beloved. Every one of them had ran and hid and forsaken the Lord, and that was still heavy on their minds. Peter had been to the empty tomb. Peter was still facing a certain amount of depression when the Lord sat down with him in John chapter 21 on the Sea of Galilee and communed with him there. He was still struggling with some things in his heart. Thomas had been told about the empty tomb, but because of the depression in his life, said, well, I ain't going to believe it until I see it for myself. You see, these men were a depressed group of men. I believe that. I believe they were. I believe they were a defeated group of men. Now, in John chapter chapter 21, we read how Peter gets several of these men, and he says this. He said, I go a fishing. I'm going fishing. And every time I read that statement that Peter makes, I'm going fishing, and they respond, well, if you're going, I guess we're going too. And every time I read that, I can't help but read into that statement a certain amount of defeat. These men were called to be preachers, not called to be fishermen. And they were called out of that fishing business into the preaching business, but they went back fishing. Everybody has their own opinion. I know that some people say, well, maybe these men were just killing time, or maybe they were trying to relax, and that might all be true. But I can't help but read a certain amount of defeat into that statement every time I read it. I would say that these were some doubting men. According to Matthew chapter 28, the Lord calls His disciples to meet Him up on top of Galilee, and He's going to meet with them there. And there on top of that mountain, Jesus meets with those 11 men. And He says, I'm going to send you forth. He said, go ye into all the world, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send you out, He says. And standing there on top of a mountain with the resurrected Christ, the Bible says they rejoice, but it also says this, and some doubted, is what the Scriptures say. Matthew 28, I believe it is. You say, what in the world could they be doubting standing in front of the resurrected Christ? I believe they doubted something like this. They probably asked themselves, can we really do this church thing without Him with us? Are we really ever going to see anybody saved? Is this even going to work out without Him around? And they were doubting, the Bible says, that day. You see, these were men that at one time were full of life, but now they are depressed and they are defeated and they are doubting. And these men are a good picture of the way that we get in our lives from time to time. How many of you could describe your life, even just in recent days, as depressed and defeated and doubting? Amen. Boy, I believe if we'd all be honest, we would testify tonight, preacher, there's been some days I've felt depressed, and there's been some days I've felt defeated, and there's been some days I doubted some things. And then we could say there's been some days I had all three of those in one day. You see, that's a good picture of you, and it's a good picture of me. But in Acts chapter 2, something amazing happens. In Acts chapter 2, God fulfills His promise, and He sends them the Holy Ghost. That's what happens in verse 1 through verse 4. God fulfills His promise, and He sends them the Holy Ghost. And when He sends them the Holy Ghost, something breaks out. And if you'll let me say it this way, I believe that revival broke out in that upper room that morning when the Holy Ghost came and took some depressed, defeated, and doubting men, and He filled them up with God and He filled them up with life, and they were so down and defeated, but now they got a shout in their voice and God has revived their soul. I believe I can see some revival in these verses. These men who were so dead are so full of life. God has put them on fire again. The depression is left. The defeat has been turned into victory. The doubt has been replaced by faith. They had a revival. Acts chapter number 2. I said all that to say this. Aren't you thankful for the revival we had this week? Amen. Boy, aren't you glad for the revival we had this week? I believe that God gave new life to some people that were struggling. I really believe that. Boy, you can kind of see things from this side of the pulpit, and y'all no doubt were able to see some things too, but I believe that we saw some people who were struggling in the weeks leading up to this revival, and God spoke to them, and God helped them, and God gave them new life again. And I am thankful for what God did around here. Amen. Now, I want to say this. We should never take for granted what we've seen and what we've heard in these days of revival. Amen. Don't ever forget it. Those days don't come around real often. And for God to move 2 years in a row like He moved around here, that definitely does not happen often. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be grateful for that. We ought to leave out of here saying God was good to us and we bless His name. Amen. Preparing for a message after revival is not easy. I can promise you that. It is certainly not easy when you have a revival like we had. You stand up here on Sunday and you think, Lord, have mercy. I am not Dean McNeese. What are these people going to think? Amen. They might stone me before this thing's over with. But you have to think about the revival. And as we begin to move toward the end of the week, it seems like that God put this passage of Scripture on my heart. God gave me something that I want to give to you. And I want to show you something here. I want to show you a few things, and then I'll get into my message. I believe that these people had revival in Acts chapter number 2. I believe that. It happened in their day. And when revival broke out in the city of Jerusalem, people reacted to it three different ways. Now, this isn't my message. I just thought it was interesting and wanted to share it with you. And then I'll give you my message. When revival comes, people react to it in three different ways. I want you to see this. Verse number 7. I want you to see it. Some people, when revival breaks out, they marvel at it. Do you see it in verse number 7? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? You see, they were marveling in verse number 7. There will always be a certain group when revival breaks out that they never really get in on it. They just sit back and look at it. Wow, can you believe what happened? Oh, wow, isn't that great? But it never really gets in their soul, and they never really have revival for themselves. They marvel at what God has done. But watch this. Not only did some marvel, but some mocked. Verse 13. The Bible says, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Now, let me help you with something right here, okay? Let me help you with something. Not everybody is glad that we had revival. That's right. Not everybody's glad we had revival. There's some people that'll say things like this. They just play in church over there. Amen. That's right. There's even some church members that don't like it when revival breaks out in another church. Amen. Don't let that hurt your feelings. It's always been that way, and it'll always be that way. Don't let it hurt your feelings when you try to tell somebody about what God's done for you and they don't want to hear it. Amen. Hey, there's always going to be a mocker in the crowd. There's always going to be somebody that says, oh, it wasn't real. It was just put on. It was just emotionalism. It was just a show. But don't let that bother you, friend. There's always been that crowd. Amen. But watch this, verse 37. Some were motivated by revival. Some were motivated by it. Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, there was a small group that said when this revival broke out, it pricked their hearts and it motivated them to do something about what they had seen and what they had heard. They weren't just looking at it. They weren't marveling. They weren't mocking. This actually did something inside of them. They were moved. And I hope you're moved by what you've seen. Amen. We'll find out in the coming days. Yeah. Amen? Amen? We'll find out in a few days whether you just marveled at this revival or whether you're moved by this revival. Amen? Amen? You know how we'll be able to tell? We'll be able to tell by the life that you live. Amen. Amen? That's right. Now this brings me to my thought. According to verse 1 through 4, these people had revival. But now according to the end of the chapter, these people began to instinctively do something because of the revival that they had. In verse number 41 down through verse 47, these people started doing some things because of the revival they had, and they didn't do them because they were told to do them. I don't read anywhere where Peter or the other disciples told them to do these things. They did them almost just as a reflex to the revival. I don't know if they do this anymore. I can't remember. Y'all remember when you was a kid and you used to go to the doctor's office and he'd sit you on the edge of that table, right? And he'd take that little rubber hammer and he would hit you on the knee with it. You remember that? He was testing your reflexes, right? And he would hit you on the knee, and without even trying, your leg would kick out there, right? You remember that from when you out? Do they even do that anymore? Do they do that with kids anymore? Take that little rubber thing and hit your knees. I think it's comical. Every once in a while, we'll be sitting somewhere, and my wife will be sitting there. She can't stand it, and I'll just reach over and hit her knee, and her leg will shoot out. And she says, "Stop it. Don't do that to me." She's real sensitive right there, and I'll karate chop her on the knee and make her stick her leg out there just by reflex. Amen. Hey, that's what happened when these people had revival. Just some things, just a reflex of revival started happening. I want to preach tonight on this thought, a reflex of revival. A reflex of revival. Three things that are going to happen if you really have revival. Amen? I want you to notice this, number one. What is a reflex to revival? Number one, if you have revival, there will be a spirit of giving. A reflex to revival is a spirit of giving. Look at verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Now Luke tells us in chapter 2 that when revival broke out in the city of Jerusalem, these people instinctively did something without having to be told to do it. When revival hit their soul, they immediately started giving, the Bible says. Amen. When the spirit of revival broke out, a spirit of giving broke out with it. Amen. I want you to notice how this works. According to verse 42, these people first gave themselves to the Lord completely. Do you see it in verse 42? Hey, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And then verse 46 reiterates that fact and tells us that they were so given over to the things of God that it controlled their lives. Hey, they gave themselves to God first and foremost. Hey, let me say this, something that revival will do for us. Revival will stir up that fire of giving ourselves to God if we really get revived. It is easy. You listen to what I'm about to say. It is easy to serve God just because you know you're supposed to serve God. Now, I know we want everybody to think we're spiritual giants, but let's be honest with each other. It happens. We can have something to do at church, and we can have something to do for Christ, and we can get to the place in our Christian life where we are doing that thing not because we just are thrilled to do it, but because we just know we're supposed to do it. Amen. That's right. Hey, I know it. There's been some times I've taught Sunday school classes, not because I was super, super thrilled to do it, but because I knew it was my responsibility to do it. Amen. Y'all help me now. I'm right. I know I am. There's been some times people have come to church not because they just were super excited to come to church that morning, because they maybe felt bad or they had a rough week, but they come to church anyways because they just knew that's the thing to do. Amen. And there's even been some times that we've done some things and we maybe would have rather done something else, and we didn't want to do what we did, but we knew we were supposed to do it, so we did it anyways. Amen. That's right. It's easy to get that way. But you know what revival will do? Revival will take that heart that has been going and doing, not because they want to or not because they have joy in doing it. They've just been doing it because they know they're supposed to do it. But when they have revival in their lives, it'll stir up and stoke up that fire inside of them. And they'll come back to church and say, "I'm just so tickled to be here. And I'm glad I get to do what God's called me to do and told me to do." And it'll get them excited about the things of God again because they've given themselves over to God. That's right. It's easy to become weary in the journey. Hey, but revival lifts our spirit and begins to control our lives again. They verse 42, verse 46, they gave themselves. Revival broke out and they gave themselves. But now watch this. When revival broke out and they gave themselves, if you study the scriptures, you'll learn this. Not only did they give themselves, but they started giving of their money. Verse 44, 45. Do you see it? They sold everything they had and they gave it to the church. Can I just pause for a minute and ask a question? You know what? I want to ask these people, charismatics that say, oh, we had a Pentecostal Sunday. I want to ask them, really? Did you really have a Pentecostal Sunday? Did you sell everything that you had and give it to the church that day? Amen. That's what happened on Pentecost, friend. That's what they did. Hey, but if you study the scriptures, you'll discover that one of the greatest ways that you can tell who or what is controlling a person is by what that person does with their money. You see, what you give your money to speaks volumes about where your heart is at. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And when revival broke out, the text says they started giving like they never gave before to the church. Amen. They took everything they had and they gave it to the church, the Bible says. Hey, I thought about those Macedonian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Paul is taking up that offering for the saints in Jerusalem. Verse 5 says, and this they did, speaking of the Macedonian believers, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us, God. Paul, he tells us this. He said they were in deep poverty, those Macedonian believers, they were in deep poverty. He said, but they gave themselves to God so greatly that they could not help giving the offering. And they just gave and gave and gave because they had given themselves to God. Amen. A spirit of revival always comes with the spirit of giving. Amen. Amen. I thought about this week. Monday night service was good. I had been battling something this week. Go ahead and tell you all about this. I'd been battling something leading up to revival. I'd asked three groups of singers to come sing for us here at the church. And we've never given anything monetarily to singers that come to the church. And as we led up to revival, that thing started working on me. And I started thinking, we ought to give them something this year. We ought just something to let them know we appreciate them, thank them for coming, for driving down here. We ought to do that. But I was fighting with it. I was struggling with it. Monday night service come and went, and God worked on my heart the whole time. And Tuesday, God was working on me heavy about it. And we had a good service. Revival broke out on Monday night. I believe that. Revival broke out Monday night. Tuesday night, I was standing in my office before service, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I want you to give every group of singers this year $100. And I thought, well, God, we'll give the singers tonight a check because they're driving so far to come. God said, that ain't what I told you to do. And I said, well, Lord, what if we give them $50? You know, I know y'all are more spiritual than me, but I said, what about 50, God? And God said, that's not what I told you to do. I told you to give them $100. So I walked out here that night, and I got just a few of the men that were still standing around after service. And I said, hey, look, this is what we're going to do. I want to tell y'all, this is the way I put it. They didn't have a chance. I said, God's told me to do this. I'm going to see what y'all think. But just so you know, if you say no, you're outside the will of God. That's what I told him. I swear, that's what I told him. You asked some of them. I said, if you say no, you're outside the will of God because God's told me to do it. It was a spirit of revival in here. And the spirit of revival always leads to a spirit of giving.
Amen.
Amen. I remember last year revival broke out, didn't it? Didn't revival break out? You men might remember this. I called you into the office. Right? You remember me calling you into the office? I said, hey, boys, I found something out. This church that Brother Dean was supposed to be at this week in revival, they normally give him a check for his mission trip every year, and he skipped out to be here with us. I said, why don't we give him $1,000? And every man in that room said, "Preacher, that's a great idea. Let's give him $1,000. Spirit of revival. Spirit of giving. Amen. And you know how you'll be able to tell whether you had revival or not? It'd just be some can't help it when that offering plate's passed around. Amen. You say, "Oh my, I don't know if I can." Hey, when you get the spirit of revival, you can't help but do it. Amen. Just reflex to revival. There'll be a spirit of giving. Number two, a reflex to revival. Not only will there be a spirit of giving, number two, there'll be a spirit of going. There'll be a spirit of going. Look at verse 46. "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now notice the second thing that happened just as a reflex to this revival. The Bible tells us in verse 46 that they continued daily in the temple. Then in verse 47 it says that they were given favor with all the people. Because of these two things, the Lord added to the church daily, verse 47. Now if you read the book of Acts, you know that after Pentecost, these men and women started going everywhere, telling everybody about what had happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. They just couldn't help it. Word spread through town about the revival that had taken place. These people were so excited about the revival, they could not wait to go and tell somebody else. It's interesting that going out and telling somebody about the Lord was not the primary focus of these disciples before revival came. After revival came, it was. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" I want you to back up a chapter. Back up a chapter to chapter number 1. And I want you to look at verse 6, 7, and 8. Now here's the Lord meeting with His disciples for the last time before He ascends into heaven. All right? He's appeared to Him off and on for 40 days. And verse 6, "And they were therefore come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will Thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" He's about to go. He's already told them what their job is. "I'm going to go away. I'm going to send you a comforter." He's called them to be preachers. He's about to leave, and this is their question: "Is it time for the kingdom yet? What about that kingdom? Can we talk about that kingdom, Lord? Okay. Before you go, is it time for the kingdom?" And the Lord responds in verse 7 and says unto them, "It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." Verse 8, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." In verse 6, they're asking the same question they were asking before He was crucified in Matthew 24. They want to know about the kingdom. That's all they're worried about, the kingdom, the power, the glory. Is it time for the kingdom? That's what they say in Matthew 24. "Lord, will the signs be of Thy kingdom in the end of the world?" Verse 6 of chapter 1, they're still asking about the kingdom. And Jesus tells them something like this: "Ain't none of your business when that time is. It's not for you to know the time." Can I pause for just a moment and say this? If anybody tells you they have figured out when the rapture or the tribulation or the revelation is going to be, stay away from them. They're crazy. Amen? In case you're wondering where I stand on that, they're crazy. Stay away from it. They don't know. Oh, they don't know. No time of the year. Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the time." Stop worrying about the kingdom. You see, they had their minds so much on heavenly things, they had taken their eyes off of the things that really mattered, the things of God. In fact, I think I could even say it this way. They had their eyes so focused on the things that would bless them, they'd taken their eyes off the things that would be a blessing to everybody else. They still think about that kingdom and thrones, sitting on them thrones. Same attitude they've always had. But Jesus says this. Jesus says, here's what I know. I know revival's coming. I know the Holy Ghost is coming. And when the Holy Ghost comes, when revival comes, you're going to stop asking about this kingdom business and you are going to be a witness to all the world. You see, when revival came and the Holy Ghost came, then that means that these people were going to get their eyes on what really mattered, and that was going out and trying to win somebody to Jesus. And they were going to start getting their eyes on the real thing and the thing that matters, and that was being a witness to the whole world. And after Acts chapter number 2, it won't be long before Peter and Philip start taking the gospel forward. It won't be long before that Ethiopian gets saved and takes the gospel back home with him. It won't be long until a man named Paul is saved and called to preach, and God sends him out to the whole world. Hey, it won't be long before the whole world hears the message and they start going forward telling everybody about Jesus Christ. Can I say, being a witness has always been a reflex of having a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. You ever really get a hold of Him and you can't help but tell somebody else about God. You remember that maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter number 5? That maniac, he goes over the coast of Gadara. You know the story, he casts the demons out of him. He's sitting in his right mind at his feet. When it's time for Jesus, they told Jesus, you got to leave, you know, you done messed up our swine herding business, you got to go. And Jesus is about to depart, and that man says, Lord, I'd sure like to go with you. And Jesus said, no, I don't know, I don't need you going with me, but there is a work for you to do. Go home and tell your friends about what's happened to you. And Mark 5:19 says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. You know what he did? He had an encounter with Jesus Christ and he went home and told everybody he could about what had happened. You remember John chapter 4, that woman at the well? She met that one that had life-giving water. She met him. And the Bible says she left her water pot. John 4:28, she left her water pot, went to the city and saith unto the men, come see a man that told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? And the whole city went out to meet him and they had revival breakout because one lady had her encounter with Jesus Christ. You ain't going to be able to help tell somebody. In fact, there were many people in the Bible that Jesus touched them and then he told them, don't tell anybody. And what's the first thing they did? They told everybody. You say, why'd they do that? They couldn't help it. And if you had revival this week, you're not going to be able to help it. You're going to want to tell somebody else about God. Just a reflex. If we have revival, there'll be a spirit of giving, there'll be a spirit of going. And I'm done with this. Number 3, there'll be a spirit of growing. There'll be a spirit of growing. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When revival came, people came. That's right. Chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 people get saved and added to the church just instantly. Chapter 2, verse 47, people were added to the church daily. Chapter 4, verse 2, 2,000 more people are saved and added to the church. In fact, by the time you get to chapter 17, verse 6, they say, these are the men that turned the world upside down. 3,000, 2,000, and eventually they said, there's been so many, they've turned the world upside down. Amen. What began in the city of Jerusalem with a handful of believers soon spread into a spark that caught the world on fire. I said a minute ago, it wouldn't be too many chapters before men like Peter and Philip and Paul go out and begin to spread the gospel, and the church grows day by day by day. I believe that if we really had revival here at Northside, I believe that real revival is going to result in real growth.
Amen.
I really believe that. Now, allow me to say two things about that, and I'm out of here. Let me say first that just because we had a week of good meetings does not mean that we will walk in and people will instantly be here. Now, some people may just come. They may just come. God may just send some people, and that'd be wonderful. That'd be wonderful. But the spirit of growing was a result of the spirit of going. And the spirit of going was a result of the spirit of giving. See, when revival comes, you give yourself to God. You go out and you tell somebody else about what happened for you, and then they come. That's the way it works. And I believe we'll see some real growth around here. This growth, however, will come by you telling somebody else about what God's done around here.
Amen.
Let me also say this, just as a warning. Just the fact that there was revival does not mean that there's not going to be troubles and difficulties just around the corner.
Amen.
And if we see some growth, growth always comes with difficulties. There's always growing pains. Amen? Chapter 4, they run into that first opposition. Chapter 2, 3,000 get saved. Ooh, chapter 2 is a good chapter. Shout on that.
Amen.
Chapter 3 is a good chapter. That's that chapter where Peter and John are walking down the temple and that lame man is there. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. I say unto you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And that something starts leaping and shouting.
Amen.
It's good. Chapter 4 starts out, 2,000 more people get saved. Oh man, how good it is. Revival, I'm telling you, revival. But it's not long into chapter 4. Those Pharisees get a little upset. They say, "We're going to have to do something about this." They come to Peter and John, they put handcuffs on them, take them to jail. They begin to tell them to shut their mouths, don't say anything, calm down. You see, opposition always comes when God does something good. Amen? And we shout because of the good things. But we need to pray because we know there's going to be some rough days.
Amen.
Amen? And you want to make sure of two things. You want to make sure that you're not the source of the problem.
Yeah.
Amen. You can do with that what you want. Make sure you're not the source of the problem. And number two, make sure that you're prayed up. So when the problem comes, whatever form it comes in, you can say like Peter and John did, "Is it better for me to listen to man or listen to God?"
Amen.
I reckon we'll just listen to God. Keep doing what God's told us to do.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know what God's got in store for our church over the next few days, but I'm excited about it.
Amen.
I'm excited about it. I believe that if we had real revival, it's going to instinctively, just by reflex, it's going to do some things in our lives, and if it does things in our life, it'll do things in this church. Amen. Here's the way I think we ought to finish the sermon tonight. This revival has come to a close as far as nightly meetings go. It has come to a close. But we do not need to let the spirit of revival die in our congregation.
Amen.
I remember when I was a teenager. I was saved at 14. Our family started going out to Bays Mountain Baptist Church. And that church was in a spirit of revival. Not nightly meetings, just a spirit of revival. And I remember that. For probably 3 years, that church had revival. People were getting saved. Services were phenomenal. It just God was thick there. Service after service. And I believe that what God did yesterday, He can do today. And we need to pray that God moves us forward in a spirit of revival. And God does something in this church that'll stand the test of time and have an impact on eternity. So what I'd like for y'all to do is just everybody come down here and join me in the altar. And let's thank God for what He's done this week. And let's ask God to help us as we move forward. that we might be able to go forward with this spirit of growth, the spirit of going, the spirit of giving, that God would help our church in the coming days. If you want to help me pray, you come on down here.
Pastor.